So welcome to the Flatlanders Sunday 10th anniversary edition. Yay! Cheer! Be excited with us. Thank you. Is there anyone here who doesn't know what Flatlanders Inn is? I kind of see faces that I'm not sure. Okay, that's fair. I'm going to just give a really brief explanation. So upstairs on the second and third floor, parts of them, there are people who are living together in community. We provide transitional housing for people at risk of homelessness, which is a very broad statement and spectrum of people. And we just try to do life together as best as we can. There's lots of information over on the information table. If you want to know more about us, there's some good stuff there, so please take a look. On that note, we also have a 10th anniversary newsletter. So pick one up on your way out. There's such good stuff in here. There's stuff written by people who have lived there in the past and who are living there now. This morning, our plan is to share stories with you. So I'm doing the intro, and then we'll have several people come up and share with you what they want you to know about their experience in Flatlanders, so people who have lived there and people who still live there now. And while you're listening, I want you to keep this idea in your mind that we are not ourselves without each other. We are not ourselves without each other. As individualistic as our society acts, we're not. We're not ourselves without each other. We're shaped and molded and affected by every exchange between yourself and someone else, whether it's small, like, you know, the grumpy kid at Tim Hortons who gives you your coffee every day. He affects you and you him, depending how you respond. Or maybe you have a neighbor who always greets you so kindly every day. She affects you and you her. And then, of course, as the relationships come closer, the greater the effect and the more the change and the molding. And some change and effect is beautiful and gentle and soft, like the pottery wheel. We like to use that analogy, where the pottery wheel, and it's just spinning, and the hands are just shaping and molding, and you don't really notice until you're something new. And that's lovely. That's a lovely way to change. But sometimes, you know, a hammer and a chisel might be the tool, and sometimes we miss and make a mark, and it hurts. This idea that we are not ourselves without each other is rooted in a Trinitarian God whose very nature is communal. So as you listen, I'm just asking you to look for that thread, that just kind of notice how we're affected, whether it's good or bad. Like in community, it's both. It's hard, and it's good. It's both. And even within our congregation right now, or in our relationships at work or our families at home, it's both. It's always both. And so though our community looks a little different, or, you know, you might think that we're crazy to do it, or you really wish to be there, I don't know, your life is just like ours. Ours just might have more effects on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, just listen for that. We are not ourselves without each other. I'm going to call up Laura. Laura is a leader at Flatlanders, and she is going to take us through the story time. So enjoy the show.
All right. Hi, everyone. As Amanda said, my name is Laura. I may not know some of you, and some of you I know very well. So I want to thank you for coming and celebrating. Hi, Gilbert. Celebrating with us, whether you knew you were coming to this event to celebrate or you were kind of tricked into it because you thought you were coming to church. Either way, thank you for being here. We're all here now. So first of all, over the years, we've been 10 years, and there certainly has not been the same people living at Flatlanders for 10 years. So we've had over 100. Tara could probably give us the exact number. I'm terrible. 112 people that have lived at Flatlanders. So it's this wide, wide range of people. And so if any of you in this crowd have ever lived at Flatlanders, I want you to stand up and give a wave all at once. So let's all stand up. And if you've ever lived at Flatlanders, come on, stand up. Come on. All right. All right. Thanks. So as much as I would love to hear from every single person who ever lived at Flatlanders, that could take some significant time, and we're not really prepared for that. So I have asked a few people to come and join me and share a little bit about the impact that Flatlanders has made on their lives, whether they live here currently or have lived in the past. So I'm going to call them up individually and ask them to share how they are not themselves without other people. So the first person I'm going to call up currently lives here. His name is Brian. And so Brian, come on up. So Brian has lived with us actually a lot of years. We can't get rid of him. And nor do we want to. Anyway, and he's leaving. Okay. So Brian has definitely shaped our community. He has helped out in many, many ways. Our community is a lot more musical. And the best music playlists are picked for putting away groceries and harvest. So I'm going to pass it over to Brian. Come sit with me on the couch.
Okay. First day, I didn't know I was going first.
Sorry.
All right. I've lived there for a long time. It's 7 in November. It's going to be 7 years. 7 out of 10. Yeah. So that's like a C. No. It's a B. I was thinking about what to say and how long it's been, and I was just thinking that it takes. Well, first of all, I don't make friends very well. I don't know what happened. Sometime I must have gotten hurt sometime at one point in my life. And then it's hard for me to make friends. But the thing about community is it's kind of all the time, and it's a long time. And I've made friends at Flatlanders that are going to be my friends for the rest of my life. And I certainly didn't mean to. the other thing is they certainly like never force themselves on me in any way. So there's a beautiful tension in community there about like maybe you don't want new friends and maybe nobody wants to like try and make you be their friend. But if it just happens, and even when your schedules are different and you don't see people all the time and you're not there for all the community events, or even if you're like trying to slink from the front door to your room without anyone seeing you and not want to talk to anybody, they're still your friends, and they'll smile at you and say, hey, you can come hang with us if you want. But if you're just going straight to your room, I get it. And we all do that. But some of us have harder trouble making friends than others. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that you guys smiling at me over there. And then I couldn't help but think that the time, just like where the people that shape you, that where that goes. And I think about when we used to do morning prayer every morning, and we used to say the Christ is a light prayer every morning. And that was a huge part of my life. And when it came time to all writing songs and we're going to record a worship album, and I definitely didn't have any words to say, just music. But then that was part of my story. That was the biggest part of my spiritual life at that time, was gathering in the morning with my friends who I didn't even want and saying these words. And then now sometimes we sing that on Sunday morning. Other people have heard that song. Some of my friends I've asked them for help on a school paper. And then that became an oral presentation, and these are all the people, and we all have those people in our life. We all have family, right? We all have friends, maybe that we chose. But I get such, having lived there for such a long time and met over 100 people, all those many, many of those people have like touched me, and like their input into my life have gone out into the world in ways I would have never seen. So I don't know what to say. Like, it takes time, and but it also, everything goes out in an energy that keeps on going, right? The thing, the people in your life, and then you have other people in your life, and maybe they didn't want you to be their friend, but you are anyways. And then that's... I'm done now. Is that 2 minutes? Okay, thanks.
All right. And the last question, are those curls real? Are the curls real?
No, I curl them every morning. It's kind of... I take a lot of bathroom time, and our electric bill is high, but... I feel it's the right choice for me in my life right now. So, thanks.
All right. Thanks, Brian, for sharing that with us. Oh, perfect. We're going to have a second microphone. And I just want to mention, too, that in the course of the years of Flatlanders, we've had all these people come in, and that it's not necessarily a time in everyone's life that is the highlight, right? Often, if you are headed towards transitional housing, maybe something has happened, you need to shift in your life, and it can be a really low point. So for some who have lived with us in the past, remembering the years at Flatlanders haven't been a high because their life was difficult or it was a really low time. So I just want to take time and acknowledge that while we learn, and I think no matter who walks through our doors, no matter who you interact with, you learn from them. The times cannot necessarily be a favorite memory, and we have a lot of different perspectives. I would say there's 112 perspectives on community, but I'm actually going to call up Jocelyn Armbruster. So unfortunately, I did not have the joy of living with Jocelyn and her family. I believe they lived with us in 2010, and Jocelyn claims that they were the loudest Flatlanders, but I think you should come by and visit sometime, because it's... they had a host of plasma cars and scooters and bikes for the boys, and I think that's wonderful, and that tradition has carried on. So let's hear from Jocelyn.
Thanks. Yes, we had three little boys, and I wouldn't say it was necessarily our voices that were the loudest, but I think we introduced, when you're living up at flats and you have kids, you can't just send them outside necessarily, so we would send them into the hallways. And so that's where my son would run his little electric scooter or wheelchair or skateboard, whatever. Anyways, we ended up in flats because we were living at home on Noble, and it was a great little place. But we just had this wrestle inside us as we were laying in bed often at night. Sherwood and I would both wrestle. Just this thing of what North America pushes on you, and that's just build your own kingdom, get bigger, get larger, buy this, you need this, and it's constantly always shouting at you here, and yet I don't really feel like that matches up with the kingdom, actually, and what Jesus lived out. And so we were wrestling that, and then also just really wanting to step into a season of being intentional, of loving on others, and so that landed us up at Flatlanders. And for us, you know, we had three kids. We were busy. I don't know how good we always were at loving others, but we were trying to be intentional, and it was a rich season for us. And what stands out to me is I love hearing people's stories, and you can become so judgmental so quickly about people, but when you sit down with them and hear their stories, hear their hearts, hear their journeys, your judgments will quickly vanish, especially here at Flatlanders and in the area. And so super thankful for that. And then there was this theme that kind of came out while we were living at Flatlanders we were only there for a year, because what ended up happening, which was a huge, huge gift to our family from Flatlanders, so thank you, is we really all of a sudden had this stir of, we can love on people of older generation for sure. But after hearing so many people's stories, we're like, wow, you know, there's so many people's journeys that would be different if their childhood was a loving environment. And so we actually left Flatlanders only because of that. We didn't know how long we'd stay for to start with, but that's actually why we left, was because I think 4 weeks after we got home, we had our son move in with us through the foster care system. And so super grateful to Flatlanders for that season of just what God opened up to next. And we're just super grateful for certain people. Like, we never would have gotten to know Morris the way we do, and various other lovely people. Jacqueline Weeb, I don't know if she's here today, but she really spoke into our older two sons' lives with her artist gifting. So we're thankful for the short season it was. It was rich, and it totally sent us off in a journey that we're still walking out. So
thanks. All right. So thanks for sharing, Jocelyn. Our next individual to come up is known most often from calling down the halls his welcome to us. So you would hear always down the hallway, hey, so Richard, come on up. Hey, Richard. We always knew where he was. Richard would welcome us in the morning during morning prayers with morning tickles, which I still don't think I've recovered from, and would be known to be sneaking into the freezer late at night, unbeknownst to his lovely wife, Edna. I think that was to sneak. I don't know. Did Edna know you were sneaking the freezer? There is a microwave, or a microwave? Oh, my gosh.
Microphone. Hello, good morning. The reason I moved to Flatlanders is I was looking for a place to stay at that time, and I wasn't really staying with anybody, just my granddaughter's place. And I was looking for a place, and I was thinking about Flatlanders. What kind of, you know, the transitional housing? I was wondering what it was. I wasn't really sure what it was. But when I got here, I really liked it because you share everything. You share your food. You share, you have morning prayer. Like, I used to like morning prayer. And I always wanted to learn about Jesus. And I thought, well, there must be books in here that I could learn from. So I started reading some books here, and I started learning more and more about Jesus and the love Jesus has for all these people. So that's what I liked about this place. It was you share feelings with these people, and you get friendly with them. I really like that. And plus the share of food. That's one thing I liked. I really liked the food. Yes. And I was a good chef too. I used to make beef stew for all these people. It was pretty good. And also Brendan, he was lived upstairs too, him and Kelly. Brendan was a good cook. I liked his cooking. Okay, I think that's about it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Richard. Yeah. Yeah. So Richard lived with us almost 2 years. I got to live with Richard for 6 months. So that was a neat way. And then you transitioned into your home now. So that was good. So the next individual moved in August. So Jess and her family moved in August, and we've been getting to know them ever since. So Jess is one of the people who gets me up in the morning, not literally, but we meet to do yoga in the morning, and so she sees my grumpiest self, so she is a better person for it, I think. So Jess and her family are here, and her kids are very creative. Her kids and her husband, Sam, have been known to be seen in the parking lot shooting off vinegar and baking soda rockets, which definitely made my day. Come on up, Jess, and share with us.
Thanks, Laura. I'm going to represent my family today. They're in varying stages of meltdowns and things like that. And they don't know what I'm going to say. So these are my thoughts. Sam's my husband, we have talked about moving into community for a really long time. And the groups that we knew of were moving out of the city. And we're pretty urban. We really love being in the middle of everything. And so Sam was working with Ian throughout the time that Ian and Jess were moving in. So we got to kind of hear about their experience as they were moving in and visit them here. And so when the opportunity came up to pursue living here, we thought we either have to kind of go for it or stop talking about it. And so we moved in. The question Laura sent was about impact, and it's really hard to kind of know how something is impacting you while you're in the middle of it. So far, I am surprised by how quickly this felt normal to me. Just kind of feels like normal life. And so when I imagine moving out someday, I think I'll miss a lot of the normal things. So my kids having lots of people to chat with, and people to play hide and seek with, whether they know they're playing or not. Sometimes there's challenges. We have a garbage can that likes to overflow, and my kids sometimes learn new swear words they haven't already learned from me. But sometimes someone will teach my kids something, and I'll think, like, oh, wow, thank you for teaching them that. I never would have thought of this topic or this thing in this way. So that's been really special. I did write something down, so I'm just going to see. So it's wonderful to have, like, buddies to work out with in the morning and run with and shop with and... you know, people see me on generally rough parenting days because there's nowhere to hide. So there are occasional hugs in the kitchen and chocolate bars left by my door, which are very appreciated. I'll just keep going. Okay. So before we moved in, Jeff told us that it was about a 2-year process to kind of really experience what living in community is like. So you go through the initial honeymoon period where everything is great, and then there's some tension that happens, and then thanks, Merrick. And then so then you kind of process those tensions and work through things and settle into life in the community. So that's kind of where I am at right now, is settling into what my role here might be. Part of it is kind of knowing how much to give and what you can't give at certain times. So that's like emotionally. It's also physically. So like my blender, I'm happy to share. The pot that I make popcorn in lives in my bedroom and I guard it with my life. And thank you. So there are things that I've learned and kind of values that I have that I am surprised that I am holding strong in, and then things that I've learned that I'm kind of surprised that I'm also letting go, if that kind of makes sense. That's it. That's all I got. Oh, sorry. I asked my kids, and they are not sitting up here, but they said that they liked playing hide and seek, surprising Morris when he walks in the door, rollerblading at home because we have these great floors and they can rollerblade everywhere, and Miles, who is 9, has a really cool bed that hangs from the ceiling. He gets to climb a rope to get into bed every night, so that is pretty cool as well.
All right. Thanks, Jess, for also handling. Merrick is a common event climbing up, so thank you. All right. Yeah, so kids are kind of a standard. As I was writing this out this week, Merrick wandered into my room because I said he could, don't worry, he just doesn't want to run. But he climbs up, and I said, Merrick, do you want to tell anyone, everyone, something? And all he said was, Grandpa. Don't know what that means. Grandpa. Do you want to tell them that Grandpa was here? Yeah. So Grandpa comes to visit, and that's cool, too. So I'm going to call up Natalie, who had the fortunate or unfortunate reality of living with me in a dorm. And so there's many laughter moments, and I think she's still a bit scarred. So Natalie lived with us for about a year and had also a talent for finding strange things in the freezer. So if you've ever heard of the occurrences of finding a goose wing or goose feet, that was Natalie who found it. Or the entire grocery bag full of dryer lint in the freezer, also Natalie. So she's a good seeker, so I'll call her up.
My only explanation for that is art projects. I don't know about the dryer lint, though. Maybe it keeps it fresh. Yes, and living with you was mostly fortunate. 95%. Yeah, so I moved into Flatlanders. I was coming from a very broken place in my life. I was working through an eating disorder, and healing is a journey. And it's a process. It does not happen overnight. So I'd been working through this already before, and I'd started coming to visit Flatlanders because Laura was living there. We were friends through Bible school. And then I was doing this recovery program at the Health Science Center and looking for a place to live in Winnipeg, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, Flatlanders. Yeah, so for me, I think, as I said, healing is a process, but I think Flatlanders is where I really started to experience life again. The eating disorder was like a slow death in me that happened over several years. So yeah, it was a process to like experience this life again and this joy, and the community at Flatlanders just kind of drew this life out of me again. And you know, I thought I would move in for like a couple months and like, oh yeah, then go on with the rest of my life, but I don't know, I ended up staying for a little bit over a year, and I started coming to church here and loved it, and I haven't left, so it's brought up a lot in me, like, it really did change my life in many ways, and it's still, like, I wouldn't be here today and be who I was without Flatlanders, as Amanda said, and yeah, I think you become friends with people you don't expect to be friends with, as Brian was saying, and you know, you meet people in the morning who are making breakfast with you, and you hear parts of people's stories, and it was healing for me, and I think it was healing for other people too. It wasn't always easy living there either. There was a season where it was probably the loneliest I've ever felt, which is hard to believe. With 25 other people, you can feel very lonely. But yeah, it was a huge part of healing for me. So, yeah.
Thanks, Natalie.
Yeah. So I appreciate, instances where we say that it's difficult. And I was talking to someone just the other day about Flatlanders, and they said, you know, we went through this stage where I felt like everyone other than me is really hard to live with. Everyone other than me. And then I slowly realized that I'm hard to live with, too. And I think that puts a really good expression of what all of us go through. We move in and we think, you know, these people are driving me crazy. And then you realize I'm driving people crazy. So it's a good transfer. So on that note, I'm going to call Jeff up. So Jeff has been a part of Flatlanders from the very beginning. He was one of those who slept on the couches in the comfy couch room before Flatlanders was a thing. He has blessed us, with many puns and phrases that unfortunately pop out in other places where people don't understand what I'm saying, but also with his philosophy and his thoughts. So he's going to share a bit now as well.
Thanks. So I missed the intro because I was trying to get rid of Merrick upstairs in a gracious, compassionate, loving way. But he's here with us, which is kind of fun, and I think it's a better representation of actually how the chaos of life is natural. But when I talked with Amanda, she said that in the intro she was going to talk about we are ourselves because of each other. And Brian mentioned being not looking for friends, and that was something that was perfect for me because I'm relatively slow relationally with people. So it's a really good pacing for the two of us, not being expectant, just spending time together, hanging out, all of that sort of thing. But then there's also been times when people have wanted more from me, and I potentially should have given more, and I've hurt people because I'm not on the same pace as them. So that's something that I've learned, and it's largely from those hard times when I've hurt people and they've come to me and they've said, "Why didn't you do this? That's what I needed." And a part of that is, like, I can have grace for myself, sure. Yeah, whatever. But at the same time, yeah, I can change who I am a little bit to accommodate somebody else, to meet them where they're at, and try and really connect with them in deep ways. So with that, there's been lots of people that have come through our doors and connected deeply, as well as those that haven't. There's people that have left and because of conflict and have disappeared, and we don't really hear from them anymore. And there's also people that have left through conflict and then come back, and we've reconciled, and they've lived with us again. And there's people that have learned that, you know what, Flatlanders isn't for me. And that's okay, too, because it's one expression of life. But I kind of want to just somewhat derail this whole interview process. And not really, though, don't worry. And just take a moment where we, as a community, Flatlanders, like, this is a morning of celebration, and we want to celebrate, and that's really good and really important. But part of celebrating is celebrating in truth, and that is that there have been hurts, there have been pains, and I'd really like if us as a smaller community that's a part of WCV, if we could just take a moment. You probably don't know anyone, maybe you do, and we could just silently sit together for a moment and just pray for those people that have been hurt by us, or we've been hurt by them, or we've hurt WCV or whatever, the complexity of life together. So let's just take a moment and just pray for those people. Hear our prayers, God.
Thank you for being with us in that moment. And yeah, thank you, Jeff. And there's a rawness and a truth to anyone's life. And living at Flatlanders does not excuse one from that, does not protect one from the rawness of how we hurt people as people. And the lives that have passed through our doors, that we don't hear from, or people have passed away, or we have heard from. So it's a very raw and mixed bag of things. Right now, I want to call up a couple of people who are very dear to Flatlanders' hearts and my heart. These people have lived with us, I think, 3 years, and their family has truly impacted my life. And has become a part of the regular rhythms of home for me. So I want to call up Jess and Ian to come speak with us. I don't know that we'll fit on the couch, so I think I'm going to... Am I going in the middle? Let's see if we can fit. Okay. Oh, we do fit. Personal boundaries. What is that? So, you know, when there's conflict, because I have so much marital advice, I just help people out. So, do you want to? I don't know who's starting here.
You're Hi. Okay, so Ian and I have lived at Flatlanders. It'll be 3 years in August, and we might still be there in August, but we're actually planning to move soon this summer. So we had no idea how, like, honestly, we moved into Flatlanders not really knowing anyone that lived there well. Of course, we knew what Flatlanders was and why it existed, and we found ourselves really interested. It was definitely a mixture of our weaknesses, like our greatest weaknesses, kind of meeting our greatest strengths as a couple also, that brought us to sell our house and move to Flatlanders. It's been so humbling, and that's what I wanted to say. And also, I've been overwhelmed by grace, the grace that has been shown to us through this community. And so I really wanted to say, because you never know what it's been like for a family, or like maybe we're just, I don't know, we're really telling the truth that that it is that we're not leaving because there's anything wrong. It's been such a beautiful, beautiful experience to live at Flatlanders as a family, and so it's really hard to go. And we're really excited. It's a mixture because it's a new season for us, and we knew it wouldn't be a forever thing. We've been surprised. 3 years goes by really quickly, which is one of the reasons we're leaving, is just looking at our kids and seeing how short a window it is that we have left with them at home. It's crazy. It was Jaden's 13th birthday yesterday. I just wanted to say that grace abounds. I was just talking to Amanda the other day, and she said some really nice things to me, which I'm not saying. It was just the two of us. I'm saying because I was so surprised to hear her say such nice things to me for no reason. After all this time we've lived together, that she still sees me in a positive light. And I think that, that whole thing of we're not ourselves without each other, sometimes you really need someone else to tell you who you are. That's all.
I'm looking down at my phone, pretending like I actually prepared something for this. No, I've been looking at this sentence, we are not ourselves without each other. And I think about the people in our lives. When we moved in, we were in a pretty hurtful place and a hard place. But I think it was also really good for us. I remember in the interview process, though, we sat down with the leadership just to ask them questions, because I think I was more hesitant than Jessica. She was all on board, and I was like, I don't know about this. And the only question Jeff really asked me, he's like, okay, so you hunt. And he's like, so you have a bunch of guns. And he's like, you can't bring them with you. So that was pretty much the only question they asked me. I was like, okay, I guess. Because there's no weapons or violence. Anyways, we can talk about that later if you have an issue with hunting or whatever. Anyways, okay, so all to say, though, like when we moved in, I really wasn't sure about, you know, how like Ryan said, or other people, like, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty friendly person, pretty relational, but I was like, how is this going to work? How am I going to live with a bunch of people that I am very different from? Like, lots, you know, I remember I was really excited talking in the kitchen about something, and, you know, someone had a totally different viewpoint of, you know, it was Jeff. He went on some, like, theological rant about something. I don't know. But I was like, yeah, sure. Oh, you're over there. Anyways, but the thing is, I think it's been really beautiful to see how living with others really does change who you are. And it has been a really long healing process for Jess and I both. I think separately and together since leaving Malawi. We were missionaries in Africa for a long time. And since then, it's been a journey of, you know, and I remember hearing my wife preach a few weeks ago. And she mentioned, like, healing. She thought healing would just all of a sudden happen. But it's really a journey. And when I think of Flatlanders, I think that's been part of my journey of healing. And it and really has been. I wouldn't be the same person without living there and living with the people that we do. And I think, you know, I don't want to just single people out, but it's been really beautiful watching couples like Jeff and Amanda. In the times I feel like I can't give, there's other people there that come alongside and really say, hey, like, I can help you with this, or don't worry about it, you know, we can do it or something. And I think it's been really inspirational to me to see others live their lives daily, because you get to see every single part of someone else's life. Your door's open, you hear people yelling at each other. I'm not naming names, but, you know, whatever. Like, you know, you're living with people. It's like having a bunch of roommates all the time. And it goes both ways, right? So people live with me as well. I walk around my pajamas all the time. But it's been really inspirational seeing the lives and how people actually live out, you know, what they talk about or their experiences. So, yeah, but as Jess mentioned, we're moving out sometime. We can talk about that later, but we don't have an exact date. So we're at the other end, and I heard when Jess was saying, like, oh, you don't know how it's impacted you until kind of the end or until you're moving out. And I think it's had a really strong impact on not only Jess and I, but even our kids. And our family is definitely the loudest. You can ask Morris, who lives below us. Our son skateboards all the time in his bedroom. And if you don't know, stuff falls from the ceiling. Like, so as you jump on the third floor, stuff falls on the second floor. Anyways, and we bought a plasma car, and we didn't know until after the fact of, yeah, anyways, it is loud. But anyways, all that to say, it's been an integral part of our journey as a family and me individually, and it's really been a blessing. And if you're considering it, as you're walking around upstairs, I don't know if I won't give away too many hints, but our door will be open. So you can look kind of what it would look like to live, you know, and that space will soon be empty for someone else. And what I want to encourage you guys, if you're thinking about it, and if you're not, because it wasn't definitely on my radar to think about, to move up there. But if it's stirring in your heart, really follow that up. Ask questions. Ask what it would be like. I thought it was really weird at the beginning. I was like, oh, I'm like living in a church. I remember hearing Jessica tell people that I used to work with. She was like, yeah, we live in a church now. I was like, oh, man. Like, but it's been really good. Anyways.
All right. Thank you, guys. I'm very thankful for the Williams in many ways, but I'm not going to get into that or else I will weep. But mainly because I can get into their room and they always have keys when I lock mine out. So I'm really thankful for that. So I'm going to pass this to Amanda and escape. So thanks so much for listening to all of our voices. Yeah, here's Amanda.
Thank you, Laura. It's great.
I'm just deciding which I should do first. Okay, I've decided. We wanted to take just a couple minutes to recognize some people throughout the years. Oh, first, I wanted you to notice my wardrobe change. That says above all. So 10 years ago, Dave Johns donated a whole bunch of Winnipeg Blue Bombers stuff. And so everyone was wearing Winnipeg Blue Bombers stuff. Everybody was wearing Winnipeg Blue Bombers stuff. But now, we got a bunch of above all donations. So now everyone is wearing above all. That's not totally true, but I am. Yeah, so we wanted to take a few minutes just to recognize some people over the years that we don't often recognize. And so I wanted to first recognize Lillian Petker. Lillian has been the church's bookkeeper for the beginning of time of the church, I think, right? Except in 96, whatever. Oh, the whole time, the whole time. She is also ours, and she's just been so gracious and beautiful to us and loving and always willing to take our receipts when they're late, and is kind of like a mom in a lot of ways. And so we just wanted to thank you for all that you continually give to us. Thanks. Sure. John Rademacher. I feel like a lot of people kind of know his role. There he is. Hi. John, I think, and so I don't really actually have all the information, so maybe these are myths that you guys can. But John, I think, almost on his own, wrote the grants. Is that right? Wrote all the grants. There we go. And secured the funding for Flatlanders to even exist. And through all of his work, hard work, and love for the vision, he also secured lots of other assets, and I believe his prayers too have kind of lifted us up and been a stronghold for us. So just thank you so much, John. I love you. I'm pretty teary. I'm kind of teary after that last little bit, so this is kind of getting harder. Is Barb Johns here? Oh yeah, Barb. Oh my goodness, I'm gonna cry. I'm sorry. Just wanted to thank you. I don't know why I'm crying for this. Just wanted to thank you. Like, over the years, you've given your prayers to us, and you've been available for people who've wanted prayer and needed prayer. And I can think of over the 10 years you coming into our space and just giving that to us. And we're so thankful for that. It's beautiful. Thank you. Nathan, also here since the beginning of Flatlanders, and always upholding our vision, and always opening up new doors for us to look through, whether we wanted to go through them or not. Your vision has been I don't know, I always lose words when I get emotional, so I'm sorry, but your support too, for all of the leadership team and people outside of the leadership team, just always being available and excited for us. Thank you, Nathan. And then my second last person is Ken Lewis. Ken, this is probably personal maybe, and maybe that's not fair to everyone else, but I just have really great memories of you building the space and you in there with your hands working to make this happen for us. And so I just wanted to say thank you to you. Lastly, I wanted to ask Andy Wood to come up. I don't know how he feels about this, but because I didn't ask him if I could. But I just want to tell a little story about this. This is an aloe. And so in Flatlanders, you can sit if you want. But in Flatlanders, we have lots of plants. And they go through various seasons of the desert, where we forget to water, and probably monsoons, where we overwater and they die. But we do have healthy plants too. And so this aloe we've had for many years, not this one particular, well, part of this. So we've had this aloe, and it's gone through those seasons, and about a year and a half ago, it was dead. There was nothing alive in it. We picked out all of like the brown, and it was just like a dirt pot, and we left it because it was one of those desert seasons. And so it just sat on the windowsill. I don't think anyone watered it. Maybe someone did, because one day I looked and it was full of growth. It had grown back. It was about maybe about 6 months or 8 months ago. I don't know. Who knows? Just maybe 2 months ago, I saw it again, and it was looking pretty overgrown and root-bound, and so I took it and, you know, parceled it out. And so I wanted to give this to you, Andy, because Andy, and again, here's might be another myth, but Andy, this was before 10 years ago, this was a dream for Andy. And he's been a part of the vision and maybe even, I would say, integral to the vision of Flatlanders. I'm not going to look at him, so I'll probably cry more. And we want to, as a leadership team, honor his faithfulness and support and prayers and heart that he's poured into this space for more than 10 years. And I know it's been hard, like we talked about, there's been lots of hard stuff, and Andy, being our pastor, is also the one who stands in the end, and he keeps standing for us, so I just wanted to thank you. Yeah. So thanks for doing that with us. Like, I know that's a bit of a presentation, but I just want you to see, like, it takes a community. I'm not going to say that cliche, but it takes a community for us to even be there and to do what we're doing, and it's not always fun, but it also has been so fun and so nourishing, and I mean, I'm still there, you know? And that's not to say that people who aren't, that doesn't mean the same for them, but yeah, thanks for celebrating with us. We are not ourselves without each other. Thanks, Gilbert. Did you see that this morning? Like, how we're not ourselves without each other? Yeah, Nathan did. So, unless Nathan has anything he wants to say, I don't know if you know this, but we're having an open house starting, like, in the next 2 minutes. And so we want to implore you to come upstairs into our space. We have food that's free. And we have a living museum, and you don't know what that is until you come and see it. We also have a brand new mural. We've been wanting this for years and years and years, that represents each person that's ever lived there. So if you have lived there and you go up, you'll find your name on that mural. And so that's on the third floor. And so for our ministry time, unless you've come and you really were looking to meet with someone and talk with someone and pray, we don't want to take that away from you. And so if that's true, we'll have some space for that at the end. But our ministry time, we wanted you to come up and put your feet in this ministry of WCV, and then you can say that you've been there and you know. And because you've heard from us, maybe you know just a little more too. So what we'll do before we get to the very end, is when you come, unless you need the elevator, come talk to me, but we'll just go up these stairs to the second floor, and that's where you'll find all of the delicious homemade food. Delicious homemade food. I implore you. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, fair enough. So if you have to get your kids, sure, come right through those doors, the nursery. Figure it out. Someone will point you the way. Ask if you can't figure it out. Because we didn't really set that up for that. So, yeah, so come upstairs and grab some food and eat and take a look at all of the living museum options that there are. And then you can head up to the third floor. And we have some of the various living arrangements open for you to see. You can just peek your head in. You can't go in and, you know, look through people's journals and stuff. And then if you go all the way down to the end of the hallway, you'll see the mural, and we really want you to take a look at that. So thank you so much for listening. I kind of feel like this was more for us than you, but I really hope that you can see, like, the heart of Flatlanders and celebrate with us. You know what? I have one more thing I want to do. It's maybe too cheesy, but that's okay, right? Thank you. I wanted us to, like, to cheer for to God for Flatlanders, to, like, give praise and thanks as a community, if you can, for Flatlanders. Is that okay? So, to God for 10 years. So again, if you did really need to talk to someone or want prayer or just connect, come to the front and just sit on the stage or up on the couch or whatever makes you feel comfortable, because we don't want you to go away without connection like that. And everyone else, implore you, please join us upstairs. We'd love to see you there.